Welcome to the Football Garbage Time Podcast, Week 6 edition. I'm Hakun Wong, and I'm the editor-in-chief at footballgarbagetime.com. With me this week to discuss all the interesting NFL Week 6 topics that we have lined up for you today are senior staff writers Joey Alibro and Ryan Whitfield. Joey, you getting pumped for the game tonight?
I'm getting excited. We're 2 hours away here, and I hope my Giants can come out with a victory.
And I think it's going to be quite a showdown, actually, and we're going to be talking a little bit about that later tonight, so hold that thought. Ryan, you excited about the fact that the Colts have no idea how to run a fake punt?
Yeah, last night was a pretty good night, and, you know, it's officially Jets week around here, so fun keeps continuing here.
Yeah, that's definitely true. So let's get to it. You know, today we're going to be discussing whether the undefeated Carolina Panthers or the once-defeated Atlanta Falcons will find themselves at the top of the NFC South come playoff time, and whether Pete Carroll and the Seattle Seahawks dynasty is already over, and much more during our new quick hit segment, Jump the Snap. So let's get started with the topics. This past week, we saw the undefeated Carolina Panthers come off a bye to clash with the Seattle Seahawks in CenturyLink Field, one of the loudest football fields in the U.S., due not only to its special acoustic construction, but also due to the much-hyped 12th man. Ultimately, the Seahawks managed to blow the lead in the fourth quarter and allow the Panthers to walk away with a 27-23 victory. We also saw the once-undefeated Atlanta Falcons meet the underperforming New Orleans Saints in the Superdome, and although the Falcons may now have a surprise best running back in the NFL in Devontae Freeman, it wasn't enough to overcome Drew Brees and his new favorite target, Ben Watson, as the Saints handed the Falcons their first loss of the season, 31-21. Now, as the smoke is clearing now in the NFC South, which one of these teams, the Panthers or Falcons, are more likely to capture the division? Joey?
Well, Hakung, I think it's a coin flip here, but I like the Panthers. Their defense has been absolutely phenomenal. Guys like Thomas Davis, Luke Kuechly, Star Lutelele, Josh Norman with 4 picks, 2 touchdowns. Their defense has just been phenomenal. Even on offense, Cam Newton's having a great year, 1,078 yards, 8 touchdowns, only 4 picks. Greg Olsen, 3 touchdowns. And Cam Newton's doing that without Kelvin Benjamin, who went down with a torn ACL at the beginning of the season. So I like the Panthers here. Their schedules are – Falcons have a really, really easy schedule. Their hardest games left are in Indianapolis and Minnesota. And then Panthers have Colts and Packers and Cowboys and my Giants at the season. But I think it's really going to come down to the two games in December. They play against each other December 13th and December 27th. It's really going to really decide the division there. But I like the Panthers.
Well, so I'll give you a little bit of applause on that, but I'm going to have to respectfully disagree with you, and I honestly think that the Panthers are playing above their heads right now. If I just look at the pieces and I say, which do I prefer, I clearly like Julio Jones, Leonard Hankerson, and Roddy White, the underperforming Roddy White, better than any of the wide receivers in Carolina, and I definitely like Devontae Freeman better than Jonathan Stewart by leaps and bounds. They're not even in the same planet right now when it comes to ability. I mean, Devontae Freeman, as I mentioned earlier, maybe the best running back in the NFL right now. He's got a one cut and go running style. He's incredibly decisive to the hole. He has the second most rushing yards in the NFL at 505, and he's racking up more TDs in 6 weeks than most running backs have in an entire season. I think he's the real deal. And if you turn to the defense, aside from the fiasco on Thursday night against the Saints, the Falcons are actually having a decent year on defense. In fact, they've allowed the least amount of rushing yards per game to opposing running backs this season at just 78.8. And I agree, Luke Kuechly is a beast. He is something, he's a force to be reckoned with, and the Panthers certainly have the edge just because of him alone, but I don't think that's enough to consistently win games. I ultimately think the Falcons will take the NFC South, but that the Panthers will certainly grab that wild card spot. Ryan, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, and I got sick this weekend, so excuse me if I'm coughing and sniffling throughout my cake.
No problem.
Today, but, you know, I think it's a toss-up between the two, and I don't believe in either team. Carolina, I mean, obviously we know what a great defense that is, but Cam Newton is doing it by himself. You know, after Greg Olsen, you get Devin Funchess, and you have Ted Ginn Jr., and that's not sustainable. And when you look at Atlanta, you know, I've said this for years to people. My dad is a huge Matt Ryan fan, and we get fights in all the time. And every time he's winning early in the season, my dad's texting me, Matty Ice, Matty Ice. And, you know, 2007 is kind of an forgotten season for BC football. But, you know, Matty Ice led him to an 8-0 start. And there was that amazing Hail Mary he threw to beat Virginia Tech that year when Virginia Tech was 8th, beat him 14-10. And then he turned around and lost back-to-back games against unranked Florida State and unranked Maryland. And, you know, you see it in the NFL, in the postseason now. You know, he has one postseason win in all these years. Matt Ryan is a good quarterback, but when it's pressure time, you know, he folds up like a cheap camping tent. So, you know, I think it'll probably come down to whoever beats who in their matchups against each other. But I'm not really buying in on the long haul in either one. And I think that Devonta Freeman's been a great story so far, but, you know, I got to see it a little longer than 6 weeks into a season, especially after he did pretty much nothing last year.
Mm-hmm. All right, Joey, you have any additional thoughts there? You want to care to rebut the entire Panthers/Falcons debate?
Yeah, I definitely agree it's going to be a toss-up here. I like the Panthers, but I agree with Ryan. Matt Ryan isn't an elite quarterback in my mind. I live here in Atlanta, and the fans here, they're a bit delusional when it comes to Matt Ryan. I mean, what did he have? One playoff win in his years in the league. Came in the league the same year as Joe Flacco, where he has a Super Bowl ring, consistent winner in Baltimore. So, yeah, I definitely have the Panthers still as my team winning the NFC South.
Right, so I'm going to give you a little bit more applause on that one because of the fact that you both managed to say nice things, yet not nice things about Matt Ryan. I've never been a Matt Ryan fan myself, and that's not only because of the entire connection with Notre Dame, Boston College, and all that, but just because of the fact that I think that he's been more a product of hype than a production. He hasn't really shown us that he has the ability to really carry a team into the postseason. I mean, he can be exciting, but at the end of the day, it was Roddy White originally, and then it's Julio Jones now that are really making plays more after the catch than during the catch. And I think that at this point, they haven't proven to me everything. But I do like their offensive weapons better as a whole, and I do think that ultimately it will be a toss-up, but that they'll eke out the Panthers for that spot. I don't think it'll matter, though, because I think they're both going to get into the playoffs. So with that said, let's turn our attention to the second topic for today, because as we discussed earlier, the Panthers managed to remain undefeated, but that leaves the Seattle Seahawks at a dismal 2-4, good for second to last in the NFC West. Of course, that's really a matter of saying that they're really all terrible in NFC West outside of Arizona. But what's the problem, particularly with the Seattle Seahawks? Because right now we're looking at losses to some decent teams, but wins only against the lowly Detroit Lions and Chicago Bears. Now, everyone expected the Seahawks to contend for the NFC title again this year, but things appear to be amiss in Seattle. Is the Seahawks dynasty over already, Ryan?
Absolutely not. I think that their season's over. And, you know, again, not to always equate back to the teams I get to watch around here on a regular basis, but I see a lot in them what I did in the 2005 Patriots. And it gets tiring. I mean, they've done a pretty good job of keeping that nucleus together. And they're going on back-to-back seasons where they played pretty much the maximum amount of games they can play. You know, eventually teams run out of gas. So I think next year they're right back in the mix. But, you know, that was been my issue all along. Not that I didn't think Seattle was talented enough, but the people that are predicting to go back to the Super Bowl this year, I mean, it's been since the early 90s Bills that we've seen somebody go to a Super Bowl 3 straight years. It just doesn't happen. It's not sustainable to keep, you know, taking that hit as physical as the NFL is now. And I know some people think the game has gotten softer because of, you know, the hits they've taken out, but the game's gotten 10 times faster. I mean, go back and watch an early 90s football game and look at how, you know, how bulky they are with their pads and how slow they move. I mean, the human body can only take so much no matter what special training regimens or doctors you're seeing. So I don't think their dynasty's done. I'd be very surprised if at this point they make the Super Bowl, but as long as they have Earl Thomas, Richard Sherman, Cam Chancellor back there, and you have Russell Wilson and Marshawn Lynch in the backfield, you know, I think they'll be all set. And the good news is Jimmy Graham finally had a breakout game for him this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I was willing to give them a pass when Cam Chancellor was held out, or actually held himself out, for the first two games of the season, and they lost to the Rams and the Packers, although the Rams really aren't anything special. But then they padded their stats when he came back against the Bears, and then they eked out a win against the Lions due to a last-second strip fumble, although they may have illegally knocked it out of the back of the end zone. But then losing back-to-back to the Bengals and Panthers after leading in the fourth quarter, I think, is a major problem. And I think the one issue that they're dealing with right now on defense is that they are terrible at containing the tight end position. Both Tyler Eifert and Greg Olsen eviscerated the Seahawks D. In fact, according to ESPN, they have now allowed 479 receiving yards and 5 touchdowns to opposing tight ends this year, good to second to last and third to last in the NFL. The truth of the matter is that the Seahawks defense is just not as good as it once was, and as a result, their mediocre offense is being exposed. I mean, Russell Wilson is a very good NFL quarterback, but he's not Aaron Rodgers. He's not Tom Brady. He doesn't command a high-flying offense. You know, heck, he can't even, until recently, as you mentioned, Ryan, he wasn't able to figure out, and this could be part of Pete Carroll's problem as well, how to use Jimmy Graham, who was being criminally underutilized and just generally misutilized in the past game, at least up until yesterday. And beast mode is great, but his violent running style is catching up to him. He can't put the team on his back on his own. I mean, I think Thomas Rawls should be rotated in with more frequency. He definitely earned it after his performance against Cincy. You know, are they done? I don't think they're done. I do think the Cardinals are going to take the division. There is an NFC wild card spot that may be up for grabs. The rest of the NFC is pretty weak outside of the Panthers and Falcons and the division, potential division winners for each of the divisions. So it's possible they grab it. I don't think they will. If they don't improve their defense, I don't see them going very far. Joey, any thoughts on the Seattle Seahawks and their quote-unquote dynasty? Are they done, or are they going to continue on?
I don't think the dynasty's over. Definitely not over for the dynasty. This season, it's over. Maybe they sneak in the wild card, but this team has way too many holes. Their offensive line is just abysmal. 26 sacks allowed, league-leading number there. They've blown a fourth-quarter lead in all four of its losses. Quarterbacks are just great against them in the fourth quarter. 52 of 63 for 611 yards and 4 TDs. They're being outscored 61-27 in the fourth quarter in overtime this year. The big plays on the defense this year has gone up tremendously. Last year they were giving up they had a busted coverage in 2.6% of passing plays, but this year it's up to 4.6%. So I think this offseason they need to restock, get a couple offensive linemen, and they'll be good to go. Definitely the window for another championship is still open for them.
Yeah, you know, you bring up a really good point there, Joey. The offensive line has been really less than stellar. And, you know, watching them play, it definitely draws to mind how good Russell Wilson really is, because he's managed to keep plays alive that should be dead in the water immediately after they're snapped. I mean, he's running around back there like, you know, it's backyard football, and he's extending plays, and he's managing to find people down the field. Now, that doesn't mean he doesn't also take a league-leading number of sacks, which you mentioned, but the fact of the matter is that that is a problem with his protection, and that may be a reason why we have Marshawn Lynch not being as productive and actually taking on more injuries, and why we're seeing a lot of issues on the offensive side of the ball, and of course the tragic misuse of Jimmy Graham until now. Ryan, any thoughts about any of that?
Yeah, sorry. I just think that I think that they're kind of more having an identity crisis than anything. You guys talked about a lot of holes on the team. At the end of the day, I think you got to be who you are, and they're a big physical team. And so trading an offensive lineman away for a finesse tight end, you know, I've never been a Jimmy Graham fan. I think he's soft. I think he's basically just a wide receiver. And trying to fit him into the system, you said that they're just not using correctly, and I think it's because it just doesn't fit with what they do. You know, at the end of the day, they have two, you know, to steal from Deion, I receivers, and, you know, no disrespect to Doug Baldwin there, but that's what they are. And it works for them, and they shouldn't have paid Russell what they paid him, because I think that the dynasty's not over, but that's going to come back to hurt him down the road. They have to start paying Chancellor again and Bennett and those guys.
Right. They're certainly going to run into to cap issues in the near future. Joey, let me ask you this. What about Tyler Lockett over there? I mean, he's the one kind of pseudo bright spot on the special teams and on the offense. Has kind of made an appearance this year. You think he's going to be the next big thing as far as a wide receiving option for Russell Wilson, or do you think he's going to be another Devin Hester, you know, just returns and special teams only?
I think he definitely has some potential as a top target for Russell Wilson in the future. He needs to develop some more, definitely, but I picked him up in my one of my fantasy leagues in the draft, late rounds. Nobody really saw it coming, and then breaks out week one or two with a return touchdown, which helped out. But, yeah, I think he definitely could turn into a nice target there for Wilson in the form of a Percy Harvin almost.
Right. Good Percy Harvin, not bad Percy Harvin, obviously.
Yeah, good Percy Harvin.
We've seen a couple of years of bad Percy Harvin recently. So, Ryan, any thoughts about Tyler Lockett?
Yeah, I think he's a nice little role player. I don't think I buy into him. You know, maybe if they bring in some – I don't know. Again, I think that he fits as like a number three guy in there. Because I was going to say, I think that he could be a good number three if they had some more explosive weapons. But I just don't think that fits that team's identity. So if you start bringing in other weapons, then I think you've got to bring in another quarterback. So I think he's a nice role player, but I don't see him as a budding superstar.
Okay. So let me say this last word before we move on to our jump to snap segment. I can say that, you know, this is how I feel about Pete Carroll. Exactly. I just do not like Pete Carroll, but I can tell you this is how I feel about what he's done for the Seattle Seahawks. I really think he's done a good job of putting them together with what pieces he had. The problem is they don't have those cheap contracts anymore. They're all getting very expensive. And, you know, they had a deal with Russell Wilson for all those years. And as you brought up, Ryan, it's going to come back and bite them now that they don't have any more cap space in order to sign all the other players they need to make him successful. He's not going to be able to do it alone. So let's move on to our Jump the Snap segment, where we run through some quick hit questions and get responses from each one of our guests here, and let's figure out what we think about some issues in Week 6 of the NFL. So now we've gone ahead and finished Week 6. We have only one game left on the schedule. So tell me, Joey, has your choice for NFC champ changed now that we've gotten past most of Week 6?
No, I think I'm still sticking with the Packers here. Rodgers is still my boy. I love him. I think he's the best quarterback in the game, behind Brady, of course, there, Ryan. But, yeah, I still like the Packers to take the NFC.
All right, no pandering to Ryan, okay? That's one no-no on the podcast, no pandering to Ryan. So Ryan, tell me, has this week changed your view? I believe that you thought the Cardinals might be the NFC champ. Do you think you might have jumped the gun on that one?
Yeah, give me one second here. Sorry, I'm just shifting my car in reverse and checking my rearview mirrors because I'm backing up on that.
Well, yeah, don't get in an accident over the podcast. Although that would probably bring our ratings up, I don't want you to get in. I want you to maybe back here for next week. All right, so don't. So definitely be careful of that. When you're doing that, let me.
I was saying that as a joke. I'm putting that pick in reverse.
I got you.
That was a horrible, horrible loss for Arizona, and it showed that, you know, one of the most encouraging things about the Seahawks and San Francisco during those last couple of years of dominance was the fact that their team could travel to the East Coast and win and not come and lose to Mike Vick, followed by Landry. So I don't know how you say anybody but the Packers at this point. I think it's the Packers head and shoulders above everybody.
Yeah, I mean, I still believe in the Cardinals' defense, but wow. Landry Jones, I mean, really? I mean, he lit up that Cardinals secondary, and that didn't make any sense to me whatsoever. I did have a little bit of faith that they will be able to make adjustments, but you can't tell me that you can bring a third-string quarterback off the bench for his first NFL start ever and then just get lit up. It doesn't make any sense to me. I think the Packers are still up there as well. So AFC now. Let's turn to the AFC side. I think I can predict how Ryan feels about this. So tell me, Ryan, AFC champs are going to be?
Oh, still the New England Patriots.
Okay.
You know, if the Broncos, if that vaunted Broncos defense can't stop Barnage, who, you know, is a nice story, but if they can't stop Barnage, you know, wait till I believe it's week 12 we have them. Wait till 87 rolls in the town again.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And so tell me, Joey, has it changed your view on AFC champ at all?
No, the Patriots actually worried me in the first half against Indy, but they bounced back in the second half, and I'm still sticking with the Patriots. Brady's too good.
Okay, well, that brings up the big question of what in the world was what Indianapolis Colts trying to do on that fake punt against the Pats with a minute 40 left in the third quarter. Any thoughts on that? What were they thinking? What do you think, Joey?
I think Belichick was playing some sort of Jedi mind trick on Pagano there. I had no idea what was going on. They had eight guys lined up to the right and then one guy behind them, and they had Luck in the center and a tailback, and it was awful.
Right. There's a little bit of a this is not the play you're looking for or something going on.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah.
So, Ryan, what do you think? I mean, from being a Pats guy, do you have any thoughts on what's going on there with that fake punt?
Yeah, they just, they took it too far. We say this all the time up here. It's routine that we laugh at. We laugh at all of you who think you have the game plan figured out, because a lot of people and a lot of teams think that the way that you beat the Patriots is you come in here, you establish the run, and you hold on to the time, you control time of possession, you hold on to the ball, and you keep Brady off the field. That's not how you beat the Patriots. Look at how the Ravens have had success against us. You beat the Patriots by when you have fourth and one, like the Colts did last night. You don't, in the first quarter, you don't settle for a field goal. If you're matching Brady's touchdowns with field goals, you're going to lose every time. You have to go for it. You have to be brave. And Pagano was walking that line beautifully, and then he just jumped right off the bridge. I don't know what the hell he was doing there. It is going to be the dumbest play I've ever seen in my life. If you're going to run that, you got to have at least two guys out there that are confident enough to read the play when there's five guys standing over the top of you and you need 3 yards. So, they snapped. It was 1 second before, the play clock expired. And then I heard today Brandon Bolden, who's one of our better special teams players, who was actually the one who first got in on the tackle, said the center, I think it was Griff Whalen, who was playing center.
It was Griff Whalen.
Was actually yelling, he was actually yelling, don't snap it, don't snap it, which – again, it's even more unreal to me that you got a kid out there yelling that basically this is a dumb play, this is a dummy play, and then the kid still ends up snapping anyways. I mean, the whole thing was a mess.
Yeah, so it's very interesting. This actually just kind of bewildered me, as it did everybody when it actually happened, and I put an article up on the site about it. And frankly, after the fact, Pagano actually said this about what he thought they were doing. He said that the whole idea there was on fourth and four or less to shift our alignment to where you could either catch them misaligned, they try to sub some people in, catch them with 12 men on the field, and if you get a certain look, you can make a play. He says, alignment-wise, we weren't lined up correctly, and then a communication problem on the snap, and I take responsibility for that. So, first of all, that is the most complicated plan I've ever heard of to try to catch another team with 12 men on the field. And quite frankly, the one thing that just really bewilders me is that they weren't aligned properly. They weren't enough Colts on the line of scrimmage, so it was an illegal formation. So I know Bill Belichick is a smart guy. I'm sure he looked at that and said, I don't know what they're doing, but I'm not scared because they can't snap the ball. I mean, that's an illegal formation. That's not going to work. Even if they snap the ball and they throw it downfield for like a 60-yard touchdown, it'll be called back because it was an illegal formation. So none of that makes any sense to me at all. I will highlight, though. Yeah.
Sorry, I was just going to jump on that last part. So, it just shows how far ahead the Patriots are, because I think the coolest part of that play, because I've watched it probably about 30 times now, not for laughing, but, as a Patriot fan trying to dissect what happened. And you see, and this is how well-trained this team is, you see for about 2 seconds pure panic because they have no idea what the hell is going on. And then they instantly all just start pointing out a man and walk up to the man, and then they're just done. They're like, okay, we got to figure it out. And, so of all teams that you're going to try to trick like that, it's the same thing that the Steelers did opening night where you're just overthinking it. You're driving the ball down the field, next thing you know, you're throwing a reverse pass on one of the smartest, well-coached teams in the league. It's just dumb. You're not going to get them on that kind of stuff.
Right, and the thing that really got me was the fact that the guy they had under center was a safety. It was Colt Anderson, their safety. So obviously there's no threat that he's going to throw the ball, right? I don't know of any background that qualifies Colt Anderson to make a pass. And secondly, You know, if you're trying to draw somebody off sides, yeah, okay, I can understand shifting formations. That may make sense, but that doesn't seem like what he wanted to do. That makes no sense to me at all. And there was been a couple things up online, and you can find this all over in Google, and I actually posted it on our site as well. The University of Maine did something very similar, actually, this weekend, where they actually just kind of tried to run a weak side sweep, which actually worked. That kind of makes sense, but they had the guy standing back there at shotgun, so he had some room to kind of assess where he had to go with it. And Texas Tech did something similar, where they flipped it over to an offensive lineman, actually an offensive tackle, behind the line, over to where they had more people lined up. And that worked as a dive for like 2 yards for a 2-point conversion. So there are things that could be done in that formation had they actually even lined up properly in the first place. But I agree. I think they were outthinking themselves at that point. They certainly did not trick the New England Patriots. Any last thoughts on that, Joey?
No, not really. It was a crazy play. I don't understand it. Pagano, his job was already questionable for the end of the season, but this might have been the icing on the cake there.
Yep, I agree with that. All right, last question. Go ahead. Sorry, what was that, Ryan?
Yeah, just quickly. The best part was the referee call, where he calls out the fact that all 9 guys on the right side of the field were off the line of scrimmage.
Right. I don't know what you guys are doing, but you are all wrong right now. Right. I love that. That was fantastic.
In his tone too. Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah. So last quick question, guys. Give me a prediction for tonight's game, Giants-Eagles. Joey, tell me, what do you think is going to win this one and why?
All right. I got my Giants. I was a little worried during the week. We had a lot of guys on the injury report, Ruben Randall, Beckham, Robert Ayers, John Beeson, but it looks like all these guys are going to play. Maybe Ayers. Ayers is still a game time decision right now. But we talked a few weeks back about how bad the Eagles are. They're atrocious right now. Chip Kelly already looking at jobs at USC. so yeah, all right, I got my Giants winning pretty handedly here.
Okay, Ryan, your thoughts tonight, Monday Night Football, Giants Eagles. Who do you got?
Yep, in all seriousness, I think the Giants are going to win, and I think they're going to win pretty handedly, given the fact that I need about 70 points from Eli in one league and 40 from the Giants defense in another league. I'm going Giants 52-0 tonight.
All right, they're good, but I don't know if they're that good. I'm on board with both of you guys. We can sweep it. I think the Giants will take care of the Eagles. The Eagles look like they lack identity by leaps and bounds. The Giants are coming into their own just as they do every season when they start off slow. I think the Giants will handle the Eagles tonight as well. So we are out of time, guys. This is the end of our podcast for Week 6. Joey, give us your Twitter handle so that people can follow you.
Yeah, I'm at Joey Libra.
And Ryan, your Twitter handle so people can follow you.
Ryan Whitfield, N-E.
All right, and I'm Hakun Wong. You can follow footballgarbagetime.com at FBGarbageTime on Twitter. We hope that you enjoy the rest of the NFL week, and we'll see you again next week. Thanks for listening.